Tir is Masecht Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin on Daf Ayin Hey on the base at the Mishnah. The Mishnah will be continue to discuss the halacha we've been talking about, that Karm Pesach has to be Tzliyesh, it has to be roasted over fire, and other types of roasting would disqualify the carbon. And our Gemara will then use these halachas to teach us very important rules, dinim, regarding Issa v'Heter, when different combinations of Heter and Issa touch each other, what is the halacha? Teaches us the Mishnah, Naga b'cherso shaltana. If the animal touch the surface, the earthenware surface of the tanner, yiklai fes mekaymai, we have to peel off the place where it touched, because that place will have been roasted because of the heat of the oven, not because of the fire. And as we have learned, and will Amir Hashem learn, the Karban Pesach has to be roasted by fire, not through any other of the means. Not av miroitvai alacharis, if some of the gravy dripped onto the charis, onto the earthenware surface, v'chaza oilav, and then that gravy re-enters into the animal, yitos mekaymai, we have to remove the place. And as the Paiskim say, netila means deeper than klipa. Klipa means just peeling. Netila means to go deeper in. And it's ka'ovi etzpa, the Rabbi Atanur says, the depth of a finger, which most Paiskim say is about 2 centimeters. Tosfos discusses why in the first case where the animal touch the surface is there only a din of klifa, whereas here we're saying that the halacha is that it has to, we have to take off kedei netila. So Tosfos says that in this case, since it's liquid that's entering into the animal, liquid penetrates much deeper than just plain animal touching the earthenware, and since it has a deeper penetration, more has to be removed. Not al meroitvai ala soilus, if some of the gravy dripped onto flour, and now that flour will heat up the gravy, and again the gravy now is usur. Yikmet is mekaymai, we have to remove a handful of flour from its place, because the hot flour cooked up the gravy, and therefore the gravy is usur, and that gravy will prohibit all of the flour around it. The Paiskim discuss, we learned in previous Gemaras that a carbon that is posel machmas gufay, that has in it an internal flaw, ton sreifa, must be burnt. A carbon which has an external flaw is tuvat surasai, we have to let it decompose and then it's burnt. These situations in our Mishnah, what will be the halacha, that the part that has to be deposed of, does it require ibet sura or not? Some of Farshim say that this is considered an internal flaw, others say it's not considered an internal flaw. The Sfasemis indicates that certainly Iber Tzura should be required, and explains that since we're not quite sure if this penetrated, we're only taking away the clay klipa or the kedei netila because we're not sure if it penetrated, so since we're not 100% sure that we have something possible in front of us, we should certainly require Iber Tzura. The Mefarshim also point out that although in the first din of the Mishnah we indicated that kedei klipa, that if the animal touches the earthenware surface of the oven, kedei klipa should be taken, many achronim indicate that 2 klipa should be taken, because the first klipa is the actual part that touched the earthenware surface and was therefore cooked by the surface of the oven versus being cooked by the fire, and then the next klipa that touches it is being affected by a klipa, by a part of an animal, part of the carbon, which is osur, and therefore not 1 klipa should be removed, but rather 2 klipas should be removed. Sochai b'shem and truma, if the Karban Pesach was smeared with oil of Truma, im Chaburus Kohanim, if the Chabura, the group that's eating this Karban Pesach, are Kohanim Yochel, they're allowed to eat it, because Kohanim are allowed to eat Truma. Im Shal Yisrael, but if it's a group of Yisraelim, im Chayhu, if it's raw, Yadichenu, so it's just enough to rinse off that oil, and it'll be fine. V'mtzlihu, but if it's roasted, yiklef asachitzim, we have to peel off the outside, because it has this smearing of oil that penetrates into the animal, and has to be removed. The Mefarshim point out that when we speak about a group of Kahanim, or Yisraelim, we have a group of Kahanim that may eat this, is only if the entire group are Kahanim. But if there's one Yisrael in the group, it would already be an issue. And as the Gemara says, as the Mishnah says, if it's roasted, and as the Rishonim point out, as we were learning the Gemara, when we say that it's roasted, doesn't mean that it's still warm. Even if it's not warm, as long as it's roasted meat absorbs, and therefore the oil will, if it's truma, will get absorbed into the carbon. The Rambam says that although we're learning in our Mishnah that the Karban Pesach may be smeared with oil, and that is not considered an impediment from the halacha that it has to be tzliyesh, still says the Rambam, we should not smear it with water. Because when smearing it with water, we're coming very close to mevushel, to having it cooked, and we know that the Karban Pesach may not be cooked. So even though smearing is permitted only with oil or fruit juice, not water. If the Karban Pesach was smeared with oil of Ma'aseh Sheni, he can't charge its value to the other members of the group. We're not allowed to redeem or sell Ma'aseh Sheni Yerushalayim, and if the person whose Ma'aseh Sheni money, oil was used, were to collect for his contribution, that means he's doing business with Ma'aseh Sheni, which is Asur. Now, Farshan point out that anyway, if this were to happen on Yontif, it would be usher to do this type of a calculation, because as we've learned, Mekach HaMemkar, doing business on Yontif is usher, and so we're obviously speaking about Erev Yontif. The Mefarshim also point out, when the Mishnah says here that the person who contributed the Ma'aseh Sheni oil may not collect funds for it, he also may not say as follows. He says, since I owe a shear for buying the animal, so let me not have to pay that shear, because I already paid by giving oil of Ma'aseh Sheni for the smearing. That too is prohibited, because that falls under the category of doing business with Ma'aseh Sheni. Itmar. So we learned. Cham l'toy cham. If something hot fell into something a hot, two hot beverages fell one into the other, the rehakol, everybody agrees, usur, that the heat transfers the taste from one to the other, and both beverages will now be usur. Tzoynin l'toy tzoynin. If something cold fell into something cold, the rehakol mutter, everybody will agree that it's permitted. Because since there's no heat, there's no means of transferring of tam between these two items. However, cham l'toch tzoynim, if something hot fell into something cold, or tzoyn l'toch cham, or something cold fell into something hot, we have a machlokes. Rav Amri, law governor, Rav says that the upper one prevails, the Shmuel Amri Tator governor, the bottom one prevails. Rav holds that the upper one prevails, because Rav holds that since that's what's putting on the pressure, it's the upper one falling on the bottom one, that's why it's stronger. Shmuel on the other hand holds that the bottom one prevails, and there are two explanations in the Rishonim, because the halacha is like Shmuel, we pass in Tatogover, and there are two reasons given in the Rishonim why. The Rashba explains that something that's in its place, the bottom one is in its place, it's the top one coming to the bottom one, something that's in its place is always dominates. The Sevaheter explains that since we know heat rises, that's why the bottom one prevails, because the bottom one that's hot, the heat will prevail. The Shulchan Aruch and Paiskim seem to indicate that the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel apply in all situations. We do not start measuring which is a bigger piece, which is a smaller piece. We only look what's on top and what's on bottom. However, the Mordechai says that the Machlokes is only when the two pieces are of equal size. However, if the one piece is large, considerably larger than the other, then that piece is the piece that dominates, and we don't look at what's on top and what's on bottom. Ask the Noid Behuda, why is there a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel if we go with the upper piece or the lower piece? Why don't we just give it to somebody to taste? So the crazy place, he says, that taste is not discernible. In halacha, we can't really depend on taste. The Noid Behuda disagrees, and he says certainly taste would be a factor, and in a case where we could determine the status by tasting it, that's what we ought to do. He just said that not always is that an option. Here we may be discussing a situation where the two pieces are both the same. The two liquids or the two solids are both the same. So we can't rely on tasting. We don't have anybody that could do the tasting. And he says, even if I have a situation that the two pieces are of the same type, and that's why tasting would not help us any, because they have the exact same taste. It's kosher milk and treifa milk, kosher meat and treifa meat. He says, trying to experiment with different types would not be a valid experiment, because every item and every situation is a unique situation, then you can't compare situations. Tosfos asks that if Rav holds Ilo Govar, that going back to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says the way the Karban Pesach was prepared was that they put a wooden stick, a pomegranate stick, into the animal, why don't we say Ilor Govar, that the upper part of the animal, which is hot, makes the stick hot, and then that stick in turn will give off heat to the animal, and the animal will end up being roasted because of the stick and not because of the fire. So Tosfos answers that wood sticks never get that hot. Another Teretz Tosfos gives that since the wood stick is touching the inside meat, and the inside meat is not the meat that is exposed to the fire, so therefore that meat isn't that hot, and therefore it will not affect the stick. The Sfas Emes gives a different answer. The Sfas Emes says that since this animal is being roasted by fire, the fire is such a dominant force because it has so much more intense heat than all the other parts of the heat involved here, and it therefore nullifies and doesn't give any credit to any of the meat that's involved here. The Ramah says that the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is in a situation where we have one piece on top of another piece. And therefore we have the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, Ilor Govar or Tatar Govar. However, if two pieces are sitting side by side, even if they're touching, says Rav, the halacha would be that the only thing that's required is Kledei Kalipa. The Mashal disagrees, and he says just the opposite, that if the two pieces are touching each other, then we don't have any concept of Ilor Govar and Tatar Govar, and they both will be also. The Chavastas points out that the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is not when the two pieces are in an oven or in a klirishin, because when they're in the oven or a klirishin, given that there's an outside source of heat which can serve as a transfer of the iser from one piece to the other, then the situation, then the Shiloh Vilor Gover and Tatar Gover are not relevant, and both pieces, and it will certainly be also. On the other hand, says the Chavastas, that if they're in a Klisheni, since we have a rule that once something is in a Klisheni, the walls of the Klisheni begin to cool off the items, certainly there will not be any transfer from one item to the other, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, according to Chavastas, are arguing only in a case where the foods are not in a klirishin or a klisheni, or it's an iri where one food is being poured on top of another food. The Chavastas further says that, according to Shmuel, that says tatogover, and therefore if the bottom piece is cold and the upper piece is hot, so we say that the bottom one remains hot, remains cold, but we don't say that that affects the upper piece. And the upper piece, he says, will remain cold, will remain considered hot. And therefore, let's say you'll now have something falling on top of the upper piece. So now I have three pieces. The bottom piece is cold, the middle piece is hot, and the upper piece is cold. Here I'll say tatogover, and that the bottom, the middle piece still remains hot and affects the other piece. And vice versa, he says, that let's say the bottom piece is hot and the upper piece is cold. And again, we're paskening like Shmuel that tatogover, and it would affect the upper piece. It only affects the upper piece, explains the Chavis Das, to the extent that we say that there is now a transfer of taste from the bottom piece to the upper piece. But let's say something else will fall, a hot piece will fall on top of the middle piece. So again, what will be the situation? We have a bottom piece that's hot, the middle piece that's cold, and the upper piece that's hot. We will still be able to say tatogover on the relationship between the middle piece and the upper piece, and we will say that no tam is transferred from one to the other. Just because the middle piece is affected by the bottom piece, it's not affected to the extent that the middle piece is now considered hot. Now the Gemara attempts to prove from our Mishnah if Rav and Shmuel are correct. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if some of the gravy dripped onto the earthenware surface of the oven, and then that gravy goes back into the animal, we have to do kedei in the tila. So the Gemara assumes that our Mishnah is talking about a case of cheres soinenis, that the earthenware surface is cold. So Bishlam l'Rav, so according to Rav, Dami Logover, and we say Rav holds that the upper one prevails. Mishamach Yitos Mekayim. That's why there's Aloch that we have to do Kedei Netila. The Ozel Roitif Matich Lelecheres. The hot gravy dripping out of the animal heats up the earthenware surface. The Hadecheres Maslech Leroitif. Now that this cheres got hot, it warms up this roitif. And therefore, we call the right of a Pesach, when the gravy re-enters into the animal, the Pesach is being roasted because of the result of the heat of the earthenware, because the gravy got cooked up because of the earthenware. The Torah tells us that the only thing that could serve as a source of roasting the current Pesach is fire, not if it was roasted because of the oven. Ask the Gemara, however, El Shmuel Dama Tatogover, that we follow what's on bottom. Cheres Kiv in the Tzaynin Hu, if the earthenware surface is cold, Kiv a Kuri Makrelele Raitiv, it cools off the Raitiv. So therefore, Amai Yitas Mekaymai, so when that cool Raitiv now enters into the animal, it should not affect it. Answers the Gemara. Could Amar Rav Yirmi Amishmul, as we will learn, Rav Yirmi Amishmul told us, Besolus Rasachas, that the solus that the gravy falls into, the flour in which the gravy falls into, is hot. Hachanami Becheres Risayach, we're talking about hot earthenware. Ask Taisvis that the Gemara only chose to try to attempt to deal with the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel from our Mishnah from the second case of the Mishnah. What about the first case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that Noga Becheres Shaltaner, that if the Karban Pesach touched the earthenware surface, the halacha is that kalif is required. Why can't we bring a proof from that? So Tosfos answers that even according to Shmuel, that holds Tatoa Govar, that doesn't mean that there is no transfer at all, and kalifa is still required. So he says that's why in our Mishnah, the first case, the first thing where it says klipa, even Shmuel would agree that it's that's what's required. Another Taisvah says is that in the first case of the Mishnah, it says noga, they touched. We don't know what's on top and what's on bottom, so we don't know what's the law and what's the tata. In the second case, however, the Mishnah uses the terminology of notaf, of dripping. Dripping means that the gravy, which is on top, drips onto the earthenware, which is on bottom. And the Sfas Emes, again, uses his line of reasoning, that since in the first case of the Mishnah we're dealing with an oven that's on, that the fire prevails and the halachas of Yilor Gover and Tatar Gover don't apply under such circumstances. Tanan continues the Mishnah, continues the Gemara trying to understand Shmuel and Raz Machlokes from our Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah was not that me right for Allah Silas, if some of the gravy dripped on the flour, the halacha is yikmetzes mekaymai. We should remove a handful of flour from its place. So again, says the Gemara, salka daitek b'soil asoninus. We're talking where the flour is cold. So Bishlam l'Rav Dami lo gover, according to Rav, it says that the upper one prevails. Mishum hachi yikmetzes mekaymai. That's why we have to take away all the flour. Because what happens? The masach l'asoilus, first the hot gravy drips onto the flour and heats it up. The hadr dreni, and the flour all around gets heated up from this gravy, and then the hadr soilus somatic leladei, and then the flour heats the gravy. The kavatri right for machmas chemimus of the soilus, so the gravy is roasted because they heated the flour. And rachmanam tzliyesh loitzli machmas davacher. The karm pesach may only be eaten if it was roasted because of fire, not because of anything else. El Shmuel dam tatar gover. According to Shmuel, says that the bottom one dominates soilus kivin the tzaynanasi. Since the flour on the bottom of the oven is cold, a kurukam mekalei, it cools off the gravy that drips onto it. Salam aliyikmetzis mekaymai. Why do we have to remove the flour? Tizgalei beyitels mekaymai. It should be sufficient to remove the place. Rashi takes out this sentence. He says if it's not heated, nothing should have to be removed. Tosfos disagrees. But the bottom line is, why is all of the flour usur? Amrav Yirmiyah Amishmul, like we said before, Besoilus Risachas, we're talking about hot flour, and that's why even if you hold Tatar Govar, the hot flour affects the gravy. Tanan, so we learned in our Mishnah, Sacha B'Shem Shal Truma, if somebody smeared the Korban Pesach with the oil of Truma, im chaburus kahanim, if the group is a group of kahanim who may eat Truma, yoichlu, they should eat it, im shay Yisrael, but if it's a group of Yisraelim, im chai, who, if the animal is raw, yedichenu, then just rinse it, im slihu, but if it's roasted, yiklef as a chitzin, klif is required. Bishlam l'Rav Dami lo gover, explains the Gemara. According to Rav, says that the upper one dominates. Anto l'hachas sagi lebeklipa. That's why klifa is enough. Mishum de'lot soinenu. Since the oil on top is cold and it doesn't penetrate beyond klifa. Elam Shmuel dami tatar gover. According to Shmuel, that says that the bottom one dominates. Kivin dechamhu. Since the bottom one is hot, mivla balala, it should cause that the oil should penetrate deep into the carbon. So why is klifa enough? Amai sagale beklipa nitzel gamre, we should have to have much more thickness removed. Answers the Gemara, shani sicha. Here we're only smearing with oil. The mashba amud vidi. We're only putting on a small amount, and since we're putting on a small amount, it's not enough to penetrate deeply into the carbon. And the Rishonim point out that even if we hold the law gover, or even if we hold the tar gover, we always have to pay attention what is the item under consideration. And if the item under consideration is something that's more absorbent, then everybody will agree it's asur. And if it's less absorbent, everybody will agree that it's mutter. Continues the Gemara, Tanik Kavasi the Shmuel. There's a brisa that learns like Shmuel. Because the brisa says, Cham v'toy cham, if something hot falls into something hot, asur. Both are asur because we say that there's transfer from one to the other. But in Sinai Shanafel Taicham, if something cold falls into something hot, Osir, it's also Osir because we say that it gets penetrated. Tatar Gavar, the bottom one prevails. Cham Taich Sinan, but if it's something hot into cold, or Sinan Taich Sinan, Mediach, it's enough to rinse it off. Ask the Gemara. Cham Taich Sinan, something hot falls into cold, Mediach, it's just enough to rinse off. Since the top item is cold, even if I say tatar gover, but still, since the bottom one cools off, till it cools off the upper thing, there will be time for some minimal absorption. Klipa me in the bite, so we should require at least klifa. Answers, well, you're right. Ema, chamu tach tzonin. If something hot falls into cold, even though I say tatar gover, but koilif, klifa is required. Tzainin, but if something cold falls into something cold, Mediach, rinsing is enough. Tanya Idach, another Braisa, which holds like Shmuel, and like Rashi says, since we have here two Braises that are teaching us like Shmuel, that's why the Halach is like Shmuel. Basar Reseach, Shnafla Techol Reseach, hot meat fell into hot milk, became Tzainin Shnafla Techam, or if cold meat fell into hot milk, Asa, both are Asa. But if hot meat fell into cold, or tzonotach tzonim cold into cold, mediach it's enough to rinse. Ask the Gemara, chamotach tzonim mediach, if something hot falls into cold, it's just enough to rinse. Kiva the chamu, since the meat is hot, ademekalai efshalai lebalaporta, until even though the bottom one, which is cold, will prevail, but until it prevails, until it cools off, there is some sort of absorption. Klipa mean the body, so we should require klipa. Aleim chamotach tzonim koilif. When something hot falls into something cold, klif is required. When something cold falls into something cold, mediach, it's enough to rinse it. So Tysus asks, what does the second brisa teach us more than the first brisa? So Tysus answers that the second brisa is speaking in a case where hot meat fell into cold milk. And as we said, klif is required, even according to Shmuel that holds Tatar Gover. But says Ben Tam, you can't do Khalifa, you can't peel milk. So therefore tells us the Ben Tam that the second Bryce is going to teach us that in a situation where Khalifa is impossible, physically impossible, it's not required. And as the Rishonim explained Taisvis, the Ben Tam sheet in Taisvis, that Khalifa is only because of a Chumrah. So where we could do it, do it. Where it's impossible to be done, it's not required. The Riva in Taisvis disagrees, and he says that if klifa is required, we can't say that just because it can't be done, it doesn't have to be done. And therefore he explains that we have to have enough milk, 60 times milk above the klifa in the milk, that therefore the klifa of the milk, which became osur because of the hot meat falling into it, will become nullified in the rest of the acceptable kosher milk. But ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, the question that Tosfos began with still hasn't been answered. Yes, the second Braisa is telling us a chiddush that the first Braisa didn't, especially according to Ben Tam, that where klifa is impossible, you don't have to do it. But so you just said the second Braisa. Why did the Gemara have to quote the first Braisa? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that these two Braises speak about two different situations. One Braisa is speaking about a situation of two solids. And one Bryce is talking about a situation of hot, of a solid and a liquid. Each situation is somewhat unique, and that's why each Bryce had to be taught. Amamar, if something cold was put into something cold, mediach, it's enough to rinse it. Amar Rav Huna, of that Rav Huna said, they only said this where the forbidden item is not salted. Ava molchoi, if the forbidden item is salted, also. Dama Shmuel, meliach harei kruseich. Something which is salted is hat. That means that something that's salted has the same ability as something that's hat to transfer its juices. Now, the Mefarshim all explain, we're only speaking here about transferring time. We're not talking about absorbing. Something that's salty doesn't necessarily absorb. It gives off tam just like something that is hot. Dama Shmuel, Shmuel taught us, meliach, something which is salty, harei kruseach, is considered like something which is hot to give off the tam. Kovish, harei kumavushal, that's what's marinated, has a din like something that's cooked. That means, according to Rashi, if something mutter was marinated together with something usr in vinegar, it will be considered like they were cooked together, and the tam from one will go into the other. Now Rashi seems to learn that the halacha of kavush only applies when it's marinated in a sharp item like vinegar. But let's say something sits in water, then the halacha of kavush would not apply. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they hold the Tosfos, that's why we hold, that kovish applies even if any liquid. The only difference is that if something is marinated in a sharp liquid, the time in which it's considered as if it was cooked together is the same amount of time as it would take if it was being cooked. Generally, we say if something sits in vinegar for 18 minutes, something mutter and usur, then we already consider it cooked. But however, when it's sitting in water or in other liquid, there you need 24 hours. And the other Rishonim say you need more than 24 hours. We hold that you need 24 hours. However, Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Prima Gadim say that those 24 hours have to be ritzufim in one straight with time with no interruptions. If the 24 hour period were interrupted, where the liquid was removed, we start counting 24 hours again. The Daki Tshuva brings down many Achronim that disagree and say that the 24 hours don't have to be with Tzufim, they don't have to be simultaneous. There's an interesting Shaila in the Paiskim. How does Kavish Kamavushal work? The Chavistas seems to learn that Kavish Kamavushal, every moment it's getting somewhat cooked, and at the period of 24 hours, when we're not talking in vinegar obviously, that's when it's considered completely cooked. However, the problem with the approach of the Chavistas is that if the cooking of Kavish Kamavushal begins from the beginning of the Kavisha process, so if you remove it before 24 hours, why does the Halach consider as if nothing happened? We should say that something at least happened, and at least Klifa should be required. So other Mefarshim therefore hold that Kavish only happens at the last moment. That if it has to be Kavish for 24 hours, until the end of 24 hours, as far as the Halach is concerned, nothing happened. The problem with that approach, however, is, as the Paiskim point out, that if it only becomes Kavish at the end of 24 hours, we know that something that's 24 hours, any time that's there for 24 hours, is a time pogum. So if it's a time pogum, why would it have the ability to prohibit one and the other? Omer Rava. So Rava says, Hadam Shmuel, Meliach Harei Kriseich, that something salty is considered like it's hot. Loyamarn El Shalay Nechel Machos Malchai. It's only when the food that's salty can't be eaten because of its saltiness. But if something can be eaten, even though it's salty, law, it doesn't apply. So as Rashi teaches us, that this halacha only applies to an item which is so salty that it can't be eaten unless it's first rinsed. When the Gemara says unfit to be eaten, it doesn't mean that the food is completely unedible, but it just means that it's unpleasant because of its very salty content. Hahu ba'gozloi, there was a pigeon, the nafla kadav that kamcha, that fell into a cask of kamcha, which is milchik. Shaya Rav Chinner ba'rei durova b'pashuna. Rav de Chinner b'pashuna allowed that pigeon to be eaten. Amarava. So Rav said, man chochem l'mishra milsa kiha. Who is such a great Talmud chochem? Ilav Rav Chinner b'rei durova b'pashuna. The Gavir Rabahu, he's a great person. Amalach. Because how will he explain his lenient ruling? Ki am Shmuel Maliach Karei Kriseach, that when the Shmuel say that something salty could give off taste, and Kutach, Kamcha is salty, the stip is salty, Shen Nacha Machas Macha, only something which can't be eaten because it's so salty. Hi, but the Kamcha, the Kutach, Nachas Machas Macha, is not that salty, and therefore it doesn't transfer taste. Vahani Mili, Chai. This only applies to raw pigeons. Avat Sli, had the pigeon been roasted by klipa, then we would have to take off klipa, even though the kamcha was saying is not that salty that it should give off taste into the pigeon. Furthermore, v'layimaran adalas pepili, if the pigeon doesn't have cracks, aval is pepili, if it has cracks, we say that the kamcha penetrates the pigeon through the cracks, and also it'll be also. Furthermore, v'metova batavli, if the pigeon has been seasoned with spices, also it's also even if it has no cracks, because the seasoning softens the meat and makes it absorbent. Amarav. So Adam Begar begins another shayla. Basa shchuta shamein. Fatty kosher meat. Shitzola in bas nevela kochosh. That was roasted together with lean meat that's treif, also. even though the treif is lean. My tama, mefatmi me'adodi. They become fattened one from the other. Levi Omer, Levi disagrees. Afila basa shchut to kachush, even if the kosher meat is the lean meat, and the embas nevel shomein, and the non-kosher meat is fat, mutter, it's mutter. My tama, why is Levi mekel? Reicha ba'almahu, it's only aroma that's being transferred. And Revi says, v'reicha la milsahi, reicha is not of significance. Ovid Levi uvda be Resh Galusa. Levi actually paskin in the home of Resh Galusa. Begdi together about a goat, v'davar acher, and a pig that were roasted together. And he paskin according to his own opinion that you could cook them together. But Rashi says that we paskin like Levi. But of course Rashi says that we can't rely on what Levi says l'chatchila. It's only in a b'dievet situation where this happened we can rely on Levi's psak. Meisvei asked the Gemara Kashon Levi. It says in a brayso, "Ain't soilim shnei pesachim keechad." We're not allowed to roast two carbon pesachs together. Rav Nei Taruvas, because of mingling. My love, what does mingling mean? Taruvas tamim, that there's a mingling of taste from one carbon into the other. The Kashon Levi, but it's difficult for Levi. According to Levi, two carbonas that are roasted together in one oven, they don't have a mingling of taste. Aroma, reichelav milsahi, according to Levi. Loi, says the Gemara, Levi explains that the concern there is the teruvas gufin. We're concerned that the two animals would get mixed up, and people are roasting these two carbonas together, and accidentally I may take somebody else's carbon. And as we've learned, the carbon Pesach is esel l'menuyof. It's eaten to the people who are registered on it. So if I end up with the animal which is not mine, I will not have been mekayim the mitzvah. And hachanam mistabra, says the Gemara, that makes sense to say is the pshat in that brisa. Midatoni sefer, the brisa said, afil gdivet le. Even if one animal is a goat and one is a shlim. Iam bishlam ibnei Mifnei Gufin, if we say the consideration is that we're concerned that you may end up with the wrong animal, I feel give it to. I can understand the Braisa teaching me that even though these two animals are so distinctly different, so there's a very low concern that will make get mixed up, still it's Asr. I like the Rinfarshim explain why is attack Asr? Because Chazal said that we should never roast two carbon Pesachs together, because when we roast two carbon Pesachs together, even though they're so different that there won't be a mix-up, sometimes the two animals may be the same and there could be a mix-up, so never do it. Early Amrit, but if we're going to say the consideration is Mnei Taruvis Tamim, that we're concerned because of a mingling of flavor, Mali Gediva Tle, Mali Vigdiva D, what's the difference, what types of animals they are? There's always a concern of the flavors being mixed together. Elamite. So how do we have to explain? Al karchach, Mibnei Taruvas Gufin Adasar. The consideration is because we're afraid that the two animals will get mixed up. Ava Taruvas Tamim, but when there's just a concern of taste, Shari it's mutter. So now that we explain the Braisa this way, the Braisa which we started off in trying to understand as a kasha on Levi, now is a raya to Levi and a kasha to Rav. Amar b'yimya, hakam ma'iskinan, this Braisa is speaking in a situation, kigon shetzol b'shtei kederis, that they were both roasted, they were roasted in two separate pots, and since they were roasted in two separate pots, there's no concern of mingling of the reyach. Ask the Gemara b'shtei kederis akadaitach, could you put the karm Pesach into a pot? Ela'em ain't shtei kederis. It means like two pot, that there was a pile of coals put between the two kabanos, so there would be no mingling of reyach. Vakamer ain't soil shnei pesachim kechad nei taruvis. You're not allowed to put two kabanos together because of mingling. My taruvis, what does taruvis mean? Taruvis tamen. Because we're worried that the flavor will go from one to the other. And even where it'll be in a situation where it's like two separate pots, where we don't have to worry. The leket taruvas tamen, we don't have to worry about a mingling of flavor. Also, mishum taruvas gufin, we still have to be concerned because of a concern that you'll end up with the wrong animal. And we make that iser afil bagdi etle. So Taishvus asks, how could the Gemara say that this Braisa, Levi isn't concerned about Taruvas Tamid. Didn't we explain that even Levi, the Rashi taught us, that even Levi, who's not concerned about a Taruva of aroma, of Reach, agrees that L'chatchila we shouldn't rely on it. So how can L'chatchila we go cook it together? So Tosfos doesn't answer the question. But the Rashi answers that even though Rashi says the L'chatchila Levi is concerned for Taruvas Tamim, Levi is only concerned for Taruvas Tamim L'chatchila when we're dealing with Isser and Heter, or milk and meat. But when we're talking about two perfectly permitted items, like in our situation, two carbon Pesachs that are both mutter, Levi even says L'chatchila there's no concern for Taruvas Tamim. Now, the Tosfos also asks, why can't we answer that according to Rav, you know why there's no concern for Taruvas Tamim? Not the Gemara's Teretz, because it's set up in a way that there's coals in between the two animals, and that's why there's no aroma, even according to Rav, passing from one to the other. Maybe we'll just say that we're talking about two animals that are both lean, and therefore, since they're lean, there's no aroma going from one to the other. So Tosfos doesn't answer the question, but the Mefarshim answer that it was highly unlikely and unacceptable that we should bring the animal for Karban Pesach, which is kochosh, which is lean. For Karban Pesach, we bring a good animal. Amar Rav Mari, Ketanoi, perhaps this machloikus of Levi and Rav is really machloikus Tanoim. Because it says in a Mishnah, Haroi de Paschama, if somebody takes hot bread from the oven, v'nos na pi chavis yayin shel truma, and he puts it on top of truma wine, and like the Gra explains, that it completely covers the tap of the cask of truma wine, Remeya Oyser. Remeya says the bread may not be eaten, because we said it absorbs from the wine. Rav Yehuda matter, and Rav Yehuda says it's mutter. Says if it's wheat bread, it's mutter. But if it's barley bread, it's asr. Because barley bread absorbs the aroma of the wine. So it seems that this is machlokes tanoim. The masover, Rabbi Yehuda holds rechalav milsihi, that aroma is not a factor, and that's why the bread can be put on top of the wine cask. Or masover. And Rameya holds Reicha Milsehi, and that's why we're concerned that the bread will absorb aroma from the wine. Says the Gemara, L'Levi Vada Tanoihi. Levi will certainly have to hold that it's Machloikas Tanoim. There's no way to explain how Levi could agree with Rameya. L'Rav name it Tanoihi. Does Rav also have to say it's Machloikas Tanoim? Amlach Rav Sur Gemara sends. Rav will tell you, the Kul Alma, everybody really holds Reicha Milsehi. Fact, aroma, Reich is a factor. But then we learn regarding that Mishnah. Where we have hot bread and an open cask of wine, everybody agrees that the bread is asur. It certainly absorbs from the wine. But if the bread is cold, and the cask is closed, everybody's going to agree that the bread is permitted because it certainly doesn't absorb anything. We only argue in a case where the bread is hot and the wine cask is sealed, or past sinus, the bread is cold and the wine cask is open. And this case, which Rav said, of roasting two types of meat, is like a case of paschama v'chavis psucha, hot bread and open cask, that everybody agrees the reich is a factor. Taner of Kahana, Bereid Rav Chinin Asava, Pasha Ofsem Tzlibetana. If somebody break bread in the oven together with meat, Osalacha B'Kutcha. You can't eat that bread with Kutach, which we just said on Amud Aleph, is a dairy dip. Says the Gemara, Hahibi Nasa, a fish, the Itfa Bahadri Bisra, that was roasted together with meat. Osa Rava B'Prazika L'Mechla B'Kutcha. He said you can't eat the fish with Kutach. Again, for the same reasoning, because we're concerned that the fish absorbs taste from the meat, and now the fish is considered fleishiks, and therefore may not eaten together with milchiks. Mabarei Ravashama, afil b'milchanami osa. Eating the fish alone, without the meat, it's prohibited. Mishum the kashal reich of a davar achim, because it's bad for bad breath, and something else, meaning tsuras, because aloch is, you can't cook meat and fish together, and here the meat and fish, they're being cooked together, even the fish may not be eaten. based on the fact, as Tosfos says, because Reicha Milsehi. However, the Ramah, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. However, the Ramah says that such fish may be eaten, because he says, as Rashi, the Reicha Lav Milsehi. However, the Ramah says, as we said before, that such fish can only be eaten by the Yevid. However, L'chatchila, fish should not be baked together with meat, because even Levi, as Rashi taught us, holds the L'chatchila, which Reicha Milsehi. Moreover, the Ramah says that fish that was cooked in a pot with meat is certainly asur, because it absorbs flavor from the meat. It's not just aroma, and that's why it's asur. The Shach, quoting a Be'er Sheva, says that although regarding Issa V'Heta, like Basa V'Cholav, the halacha follows Levi, the Reicha Lav Milsehi, when it comes to a Shaila of meat and fish being cooked together, there the halacha is more stringent, because chamira sakanta misura. Here we're dealing with a situation, eating fish cooked with meat is a shayla of sakanas nefashas, that's why we're more machmir. Therefore, the Shemashal says that because of the sakana, one should not eat fish that was cooked in a clean meat pot, because the fish absorbs the flavor from the walls of the pot. The Issa Heter disagrees with the Mashal, and he holds that it's only dangerous to eat fish that was cooked with actual meat, the en. But eating fish that was cooked in a clean meat pot is not a danger. The Torah therefore says that people should have the minhag of having separate pots for fish and meat, and not cooking meat in the same pot, cooking fish in the same pot as they cook meat. The Shulchan Aruch says that somebody should wash his hands and clean his mouth between eating fish and meat. The Ramah says that this is not necessary, however he says it's a good idea to drink something in between them, and this is the basis for the minig that people take a drink of schnapps and make a lechayim to life after eating fish before they eat meat, because they should avoid the sakana. There's a Magen Avraham that says perhaps all of this is no longer relevant, because we say Nishtanu HaNativim, the nature of people and foods have changed over the course of history, but most Poskim don't agree with that Magen Avraham. The Tiferes Tzvi holds that when eating fish L'Kavod Shabbos, somebody can eat fish which absorb flavor from meat, because since he's eating fish L'Kavod Shabbos, we have a rule of Shoyma Mitzvah L'Yeda Davara. Somebody doing a mitzvah doesn't have to be worried about having harm come to him. The Divrei Makil, however, disagrees, and he says that you can't just say Shoyma Mitzvah L'Yeda Davara. If something which is dangerous, as Al Gemara says it is, then just relying the fact that I'm doing a mitzvah will not necessarily automatically protect us.